Talk Live. We kick off Hour 3 of the Friday edition of the show. It's Ian here with you.
And Johnson.
And Mark.
The toll-free number for you to take control of the airwaves is 1-800-259-9231. You can bring up whatever you want. That's 1-800-259-9231. And as always, you can join us online at freetalklive.com. Everything on our website is totally free. Again, that is freetalklive.com. So, Mark, we've been selling this for a little while now, this NASA situation. They're preparing to launch a shuttle this weekend, but are they ready?
Well, key NASA officials who oversee the agency said that they don't believe the shuttle is safe for launch, according to a report. Emails sent to NASA's administrator from the agency's inspector general's office, obtained by a newspaper in Orlando, said that they didn't believe the Space Shuttle Discovery should launch without more work to prevent foam insulation from breaking off the external fuel tank.
Wait, have they done a launch since the last one blew up?
I don't think
they have. Have they?
Yeah, I think so. Yes.
Maybe this will address it.
NASA already had a no-go for flight from the agency's top safety official and the chief engineer. There's probably two guys you should listen to. However, the NASA managers went ahead and gave a go for launch for Saturday.
So wait a minute.
Yeah, we're go for launch.
Let me see if I understand this. Their top engineers said, no, not a good idea. And NASA's official, their bureaucrats at the top, the administrator, said, we're going to do it anyway.
The top safety official and the chief engineer.
Why? Because we have something to prove. What?
Meanwhile, NASA declined Thursday to release documents from a critical safety meeting where managers debated whether to go forward with the shuttle launch. Partner Florida Today, that's the newspaper, and Associated Press, asked the agency to release records from the flight readiness review meetings under the Freedom of Information Act. The records outline the safety issues raised during the June 16th and 17th meetings at the Kennedy Space Center. The question that we have at this point is, last year NASA was able to release the documents that were used during the flight readiness review, which is the meeting where the decision is made to go forward with the launch. This year, they've decided, in the face of the same request, to deny the release of records.
Wow.
Wonder why that is.
Maybe it's because the records show that the top engineer came in and said, look, guys, there's a 1 in 100 chance, I've seen this reported out there, that there's a 1 in 100 chance that we're going to have an explosion and our crew's going to die. And then the NASA administrator said, well, Joe, that doesn't matter. It's not our money, and I'm not going in the shuttle, so I say launch. I mean, really,
right.
It's not their money. Who cares if they lose another shuttle, right? Who cares? Why do they care? It doesn't matter. The program will continue. They'll just say, you know, what we need is more money. If we just had more, we've lost America, we've lost another shuttle. Another crew of people has died in flames above the Earth, and we've lost another shuttle. But, you know, we'll do better next time. Give us some more money.
Now, if we got rid of NASA, I'm pretty sure that by now we probably wouldn't be using rocket fuel launch ships into space.
We'd probably be colonizing the moon or something if NASA wasn't around.
It seems crazy to me to get on anything that the government built.
Yeah,
I just don't understand why people would do that. At least fighter planes are built by companies and sold to the government.
Somebody built the shuttle for the government.
Look,
it wasn't the government.
Look at how fast the X-Space/X-Prize program has grown. Since NASA said, okay, we'll step back, we're going to allow commercial spaceflight. How fast has that program run by Richard Branson, who everyone knows his name now, how fast is that program growing?
I don't know how fast it's grown. I haven't really heard much about it since they had the XPRIZE. What was that, 2 years ago, a year and a half
ago?
Yeah,
they've been doing,
I think it's been about a year.
No, they've been doing stuff and developing stuff ever since, and they've got a whole new program now. They're developing, I don't remember what it is, but they're developing something else. With the XPRIZE program, they've got a new contest going on.
Well, good. They need to get some more press, because there's nothing out there that I've seen, at least. Because the press that they had gotten at that time was great. They got a lot of it showing how this just a simple contest for what was it, $10 million, the prize?
Something like that. And they have another prize. If somebody knows what the new contest is, call in and let me know, because I don't remember.
We'll poke around during the break. But this, simply because they had a contest, they had multiple groups competing to see who could make the qualifications and win the prize. In fact, wasn't the group that won, didn't they spend far more than the actual prize itself? Weren't they essentially just looking for bragging rights?
Sure they were. That's great advertising for this little space group going on there. It's ridiculous. It's ludicrous that for somehow or another the American people have been sold this bill of goods that only the government can possibly get us into space.
It is absolutely ludicrous. These people with the XPRIZE did it in just a very short amount of time for a fraction of the cost of the space shuttle. I mean, the amount of money it costs just in the fuel alone to launch a space shuttle, let alone building one and upkeeping one and all of those costs, I mean, they did it for pennies on the dollar.
Well, you know, and NASA's been a big lie to the American people all along the way. A year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I was a supporter. But after I read Harry Brown's book outlining some of the ways that NASA has just fallen on its face, I was completely converted. Do you have some of those?
I do have this. It is from Harry's excellent book, The Great Libertarian Offer. This was his second campaign book. He ran for president twice. The first one was Why Government Doesn't Work. That's actually my favorite of the two. And then there was this one, which is The Great Libertarian Offer. In this, it's a chapter called Government's Greatest Hits, because Harry Brown made a point of going around during his campaigns asking people, when he would go and speak at different locations, he would ask them, what's your favorite government program? And the usual response is, I don't know. I don't have one.
Right.
You know, or like I said earlier, what's your favorite cancer? I mean, most people don't have an answer. But there were a few people with answers, and one of them was NASA.
NASA.
The space program.
NASA does have a lot of good PR, and they got that cool little swooshing symbol thing. I dig that.
And space is cool, man. Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to explore space. Well, as Harry puts it, perhaps they're starry-eyed, but for some reason, some people believe the space program is one of the federal government's greatest hits. They remember the remarkable moon landing in 1969 and assume that everything that NASA does must be equally as impressive.
Which, of course, NASA lied about. We never went to the moon.
No, that's all it is. But the moon landing has yet to yield any tangible benefit to the taxpayers who paid for it. And the space program has consisted since then of an unbroken string of promises and failures.
This is the real thing that we need to remember, even if we did go to the moon or if we didn't. It doesn't really matter. The fact is that we've been wasting money hand over fist.
Yes. For example, President Reagan proposed the space station in 1984, but all sorts of achievements and benefits were promised for it. Yet as of 1999, none of the promised benefits have been delivered. And I haven't seen anything in the news about the space station. Have you guys? What's going on with that thing? Wasn't it falling out of orbit?
I think empty.
Minimal stuff.
Yeah, I thought it was falling out of orbit the last time I heard something. Well, the space station, by the way, its original promised cost was $8 billion. That's how much it was going to cost.
Didn't Mir like fall out of orbit and then they rebuilt the International Space Station or something like that?
I don't know. But so far, and when this book was printed, which was 7 years ago, they had spent $100 billion. So the original promise, $8 billion, as of 1999, they'd spent $100 billion. Completion date was 1992. Estimated date as of the printing of this book was 2005. And I don't know if it's still completed. Maybe somebody who's into the space thing can clue us in on that at 800-259-9231. Parts completed, originally promised 40. By 1999, they'd completed 2. Missions completed, 8. By 1999, they'd completed 1. But the space shuttle itself is a little bit more revealing. In 1972 and again in 1982, NASA made predictions about the space shuttle, and here's how well that program has turned out. The original promise, believe it or not, for the space shuttle was 51 flights per year.
Yeah, I remember this. The idea was, we're going to go into space all the time. This thing's reusable.
And so far, let's see, in 1999 they ran it 4 times. And then once it blows up, like it did a couple years ago, they do it even less.
Yeah, it really slows down.
They were originally supposed to service private customers as well as government.
Of course.
But now then they shut out the private customers. Of course, what private company would want to put any of their payloads on the government space shuttle anyway, right, with a chance it's going to go blow up?
Right now, satellites are getting shot in the air by rockets. I mean, old, old, old technology.
Well,
and why? Because we haven't been able to get private industry into it.
Actually, speaking of satellites, private industry is doing that. It's not the government that launches satellites, Mark, though it originally was one of the purposes of the space shuttle.
Are you sure? I thought it was like you're launching your satellites by going through somebody who puts it on a French rocket or puts it on an Australian rocket.
Maybe that's
like
the case. But apparently, according to Harry Brown,
France is launching our rockets. How ridiculous is that?
Maybe that's why it is, because NASA took too long to learn how to launch the satellites. The private companies went with other options. Whether that's other governments or private launch pads, I don't know. And achievements. The space shuttle was originally supposed to discover cures for diseases, find miracle alloys, and lead to new products. Result to date, they've done nothing. absolutely nothing but waste your money to the tune of billions of dollars. And we haven't even touched on the Mars rovers. More on the way. Free Talk Live.
Republicans took over Congress more than 10 years ago. Since then, the government has grown by $1 trillion. This spending explosion has happened in part because Congress doesn't read the huge bills they pass. I'm Jim Babka with DownsizedDC.org. Our new proposal stops Congress from passing bills they haven't read. It's called the Read the Bills Act. The Read the Bills Act will slow Congress down, way down. It's easy for you to help make this bill the law of the land. You can learn more at DownsizedDC.org. That's DownsizedDC.org.
Would you like to get involved with pro-liberty causes, but just can't find the time? Let us spread the word about freedom for you. Consider becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier now for just $3 a month, and you'll help Free Talk Live get on more radio stations and more MP3 players. That means more new people coming across the message of freedom every day. Other pro-liberty organizations seem to gobble up contributions and make very little progress. AMP actually works. For all the details, visit amp.freetalklive.com. That's amp.freetalklive.com.
Currency devaluation, inflation, one and the same. If you had deposited $100,000 in a bank at 1% in a 30-month period dating from May 24, 2005, here is what happened to your funds. The dollar lost 33% of its value in that time frame. The bank paid you 1%. Your $100,000 now has a net purchasing power of $68,000. Here is reality. The devaluation of currency equals real inflation. Keep in mind how the value of your paper assets are measured in dollars. Gold in the same time frame increased 35% in value. Learn how to protect and profit in this truly unstable world economy. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Hey, Bill, I'm buying lunch today. And check this out. I bought a new car.
Wow, John, I guess you took my advice and visited that website we were talking about over lunch last time we met. www.didyourobbillgates.com.
I did, and you were right. I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. And it's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my fifth week.
Whoa, that's awesome. John, your business will keep growing as mine has. In fact, people are joining from all over the world. It's incredible. Everyone should go to www.didyourobbillgates.com and learn how this program can help them become financially independent, too.
Thanks a million, Bill, for telling me about www.didyourobbillgates.com.
Check, please.
I got this one, Bill.
Sure, John. Let's tell everyone about www.didyourobbillgates.com.
Deal.
According to a recent report by the National Institute of Health, high blood pressure is a major risk factor for heart disease and the chief risk factor for stroke and heart failure. It affects about 50 million Americans. That's one in four adults. Because many people have high blood pressure for years without knowing it, the American Heart Association calls it the silent killer. At ResearchedHerbs.com, we recognize your concern for your well-being. As your online partner in health, we are committed to empowering you with the resources you need to make informed health decisions about high blood pressure. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com to learn more about heart care, the widely researched natural herbal supplement for regulating blood pressure and maintaining optimum heart health. Did you know that the safety and effectiveness of heart care is backed by over 100 clinical trials and experimental studies? Act now. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com or call us at 1-800-845-3841 to start protecting yourself from the silent killer. That's 1-800-845-3841.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, Friday edition of the show. You can take control of the airwaves. Dial toll-free 1-800-259-9231 and bring up whatever you want. That's 800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Johnson.
And Mark.
As always, you can join us online at freetalklive.com. We've got updates. You get signed up, we'll clue you in whenever there's something fresh to announce about the show. Get signed up at updates.freetalklive.com. Again, that's updates.freetalklive.com. Plus, Free Talk Live is brought to you by the Free State Project. It's your only choice for more personal freedom and smaller, less intrusive government. To learn more about joining the Second American Revolution, go to freestateproject.org.
Again, that's freestateproject.org. We're talking about an issue, a government program that a lot of people have a love affair with. They love NASA. They feel like it's exploring the new frontier, that there's a bunch of wonderful people in NASA and they're working to expand humanity's progress into space, and it just sounds so neat, you know, exploring space. And the concept is neat, and there's a lot of things to learn out there, no doubt about it. However, is the government really the appropriate group to be doing this? The answer is clearly no. We just went through some numbers, some statistics about the space shuttle, just one of NASA's many, many things that they do, many of their programs, and how inefficient it is, how wasteful it is, how it hasn't even come close to reaching its original promised goals. One example being that they'd originally promised nearly 52 flights per year, and you get maybe 2 to 4 of them per year on average if the shuttle doesn't actually blow up. As Harry Brown writes in The Great Libertarian Offer, the space shuttle was supposed to provide great benefits to science and the American economy. As Robert Oler, Richard Kolker, and Mark Whittington explain, some NASA officials even boast that for every dollar spent, 9 or 10, some have even claimed $15 go back to the federal treasury. But after almost 20 years of flying the space shuttle, not a significant scientific or medical process has been discovered or perfected in space. No significant product of any kind has been produced in space. Furthermore, the servicing of satellites once the shuttle's reason for existence has been abandoned. In 1999, the $200 million Mars Climate Orbiter died because of a navigation error, which in fact occurred because NASA calculations had confused metric measurements with standard U.S. measurements. And in January of 2000, NASA reported that it had lost the $165 million polar lander that was supposed to explore Mars. You guys remember when that happened?
Yeah, just gone.
Just flushed that money right down the toilet.
How many was it?
$165 million. But I remember hearing statistics. Maybe it was a different lander that got lost. But I remember hearing one where they rolled it off the platform and it kind of moved around for a little bit. You remember this one where it moved around. It moved its camera around. It sent back a few shots of Mars and then just died. It just died. And I recall that costing a couple billion, but I'm not sure.
You know, what's really funny is I want to bring something up because I was watching. There's some stuff that I watched online that came out of NASA, but not through the means that you'd think. A particular astronaut decided, and I don't remember his name, but he does a video blog, and I think this is still going on. He decided to start doing a video blog from space, from the space station. What happened was, is this guy, he decided, I guess he was a science teacher, and he does science stuff, and he just decided, I'm so sick and tired of all the experiments that NASA is providing for them to do, the mm-hmm. science that there's, you know, the set science that they're supposed to do is apparently, he just thinks most of it is just not really...
It's a waste of time.
Yeah, it's mostly a waste of time.
Wow.
So he decided to start doing his own little experiments and videotaping them and doing a video log from them. And some of the stuff that he was doing is some of the coolest stuff. I mean, he was doing fluid dynamic experiments where he would take a ball of water and boil it by sticking... He figured out how to boil water in space without anything, you know, around it in zero gravity. So he would stick a soldering iron into the ball of water and boil it. Another thing he found is that water in space makes a bubble. So he took like a piece of wire or whatever, and found that water behaves like a soap bubble in space. You can cut it, kind of, but what you can do is like, you know how when you dip a circle in a bubble?
Yeah, the bubble blower. Yeah.
The bubble blower. It makes a stretchy membrane.
You have the film over the bubble blower.
Right. Well, he found that in space, in zero gravity, water does the same thing.
Neat.
And the thing that was neat about it is that the tensile strength of that bubble, he could shake it back and forth.
Wow.
And it would stretch way out and snap back. I mean, so he's learning more by doing these weird independent experiments than has been learned in, like, years, in decades of space, just by doing all those independent things. He found he took a little...
Yeah, NASA's probably going to can him, though.
He took a CD player, a Discman, his own Discman.
Yeah.
And found that if you took a Discman and you hit the edge of it, it'll start spinning in space. But if you turn it on with a CD in it, it doesn't spin anymore. the centrifugal force rotating actually stabilizes the thing and locks it in place.
It's
in
like
space.
A little gyroscope.
The gyroscope in space actually locks it in place in space. It creates enough force with just a Discman to hold it in place so it's stable.
So you're telling me that there's one guy that has had the courage, essentially, to buck the system and use his time that he has in space to run his own experiments, and he's learned more in 3 weeks than NASA has in 3 decades?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
And he's videotaping it all for the world to see.
Imagine if we had competing space expeditions, companies, Microsoft.
Research companies.
You know, yeah. Microsoft bankrolling, organizations.
Forget Microsoft. Think Pfizer. Think medical companies. You know, think all sorts of different
places. Research teams going up competing to see who can bring back the most interesting products, most interesting research. It's just not happening
Maybe
yet.
Maybe even entertainment. I mean, there could be even entertainment. Can you imagine American Gladiators in space?
A true space opera,
you know,
if you will.
I was just thinking of like wrestling, you know, like zero G wrestling stuff and fighting. You know, I don't know.
You're thinking of ways to make money off of space.
Oh,
travel. That's great. As opposed to just sending people up and charging
just
them.
Just vacation. Look at the stars.
Right. And there's money in that, too, sure.
Of course.
And, by the way, Mark, you had mentioned earlier that you weren't sure about how the private companies were launching their satellites. Harry Brown goes into that a little bit. He says in the 1970s, several private companies wanted to build their own rocket launchers and send satellites into space. But the government wouldn't use their services. And by offering cheap, subsidized rates for launching satellites, the government effectively killed off all private competition. It took the Challenger crash in 1980 to change the rules. Reducing considerably, wasn't that 80 or 84? I don't remember.
Sounds about right.
Reducing considerably the number of government launches. Now government agencies use private satellite launch services instead of driving them out of the market.
It was 84, by the way.
A
launch service doesn't sound to me like they necessarily are shooting rockets in the air.
What do you think they're shooting?
They could be brokering the services of, you understand? Just because they're a service doesn't mean that they're launching the rocket. They could be a broker who handles, you know, either it goes on the Russian rocket or the French rocket or...
Most other laws that inhibited private development of space have been removed, and so markets are opening up for tourism in space, as well as private mapping of the moon and far-off planets. Beale Aerospace has invested $200 million in the building of a new rocket to launch satellites. So that's a private rocket.
Okay.
This is a pittance compared to what a government launcher costs. When an enterprise seems too big for the private sector to handle, it's often because we use government costs to gauge its size. And as Harry Brown says, unburden private companies from subsidized competition from the government, and they will provide the money to do what's truly worth doing. Usually, they'll succeed. But if a private company fails to deliver, it won't cost the taxpayers anything. And I think that's really the most salient point here, is that, you know, if Microsoft invests $200 million in launching some spectacular rocket into space and everything goes wrong when it gets up there, we don't suffer for it. It's their investors that would lose. They would be the ones losing, not all of us. Whereas when NASA loses a $2 billion rover up on Mars, we all pay the price. So let's open up space to more competition and see what results. More on the way, including an interesting survey. Coming up, Free Talk Live.
United States Pharmacopeia, USP, sets the standard for most food supplements and are used in over 95% of all vitamin and mineral supplements in the world. The problem is that these products have never appeared in any living tissue. They're created in laboratories and are not recognizable to the body's metabolism. Grown by Nature, products are different because they use renatured ingredients, proprietary blends of essential vitamins and minerals with cofactors of proteins, lipids, and complex carbohydrates. Over 50 studies have been conducted on renatured nutrients, and over 20 have been published in peer-reviewed journals proclaiming their superiority. As a result, Grown by Nature vitamins and supplements are now recognized as simply the best available. Call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 and order your Grown by Nature products today. We are what we eat, and since we are of nature, we should eat foods in their natural form. Only Grown by Nature offers a full line of renatured nutrients. Call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 because not all products are grown by nature, but they should be.
Discover a natural way to experience healthier, cleaner indoor air without expensive filters and high-maintenance machines. Discover what natural health professionals have known for decades. Natural salt lamps ionize and purify indoor air. Natural salt lamps come handcrafted from salt crystals that are millions of years old. These lamps create healthy ions that eliminate odor, reduce bacteria, and can help allergy and asthma sufferers. You and your family will breathe better, sleep sounder, and have more energy. Natural salt lamps are available in stunning natural colors and shapes to accent any decor. The lamps are environmentally friendly and, most important, they're affordable. Natural salt lamps come with a 100% 60-day satisfaction guarantee. Visit www.natural-salt-lamps.com. That's natural-salt-lamps.com to see the lamps for yourself and experience even more of the wellness tools available. Breathe easier, feel better, live healthier with a natural salt lamp by visiting natural-salt-lamps.com or call 312-224-2710. That's 312-224-2710.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Create the Dream, the magazine for everyone who has a dream of making artisan quality soaps, candles, and herbal products, whether as a hobbyist or an aspiring small business owner. Create the Dream provides a wealth of innovative solutions and original ideas that will propel your craft to the next level. It's the ultimate insider's guide featuring comprehensive coverage of the topics affecting the industry. Create the Dream inspires and challenges readers and offers recipes, techniques, tips, and sources in every full-color issue. Create the Dream magazine is published quarterly and features 64 full-color pages with insightful articles and stunning product photography. Give yourself the gift of creativity. Subscribe today to Create the Dream magazine at createthedream.com. Plus, as a GCN listener, you'll save 10% off the subscription price. Just type Genesis, that's G-E-N-E-S-I-S, in the voucher area of your order page. Again, the website is www.createthedream.com. Create the Dream is a division of the Creative Concept.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. Toll free number 800-259-9231. You take control of the airwaves and bring up whatever you want. It's Ian here with you.
And Johnson.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. Everything on our site is free. The live streams are there. Broadband version of the show and a dial-up version are both totally free. FreeTalkLive.com. So we were talking about NASA and how inefficient and useless it is. And I pointed out at the very end of that conversation that if all space travel was done privately, then if something went wrong, if things did not go out go as planned, if somebody lost a shuttle in space or a rover on Mars, then only the investors, only the people involved with that particular project would be paying the price. Now, our board op suggested that we do lose when the investors lose because they'll have to raise their prices. The company would have to raise its prices. But that's not true. It may be true that they might raise their prices to try and compensate, but we don't lose because we aren't forced to buy their products. If we don't want to support their business, we don't have to.
Essentially, it's just research and development into the next flight, not counting the loss of life. It's research and development into the next flight, and you pay R&D in everything you buy.
True.
Except perhaps aspirin. I don't think there's any R&D left in that.
No, probably not. All right.
Paper clips.
So, moving on, Johnson, we've got a study that we touched on just barely at the end of the show last week, and we'd sold it throughout the entire Friday
really
show.
Didn't really get to it.
Yeah, we barely touched on it. Let's get into it in a little bit more detail. What do you have for us?
Well, I want to talk about who believes in God and who doesn't. And this is interesting. It's some Gallup poll data that they just happened upon finding some very interesting correlations from the data that they collected. Well, there are many ways to measure Americans' belief in God, and in part, the conclusions one reaches on this topic depend on how that belief is defined in the question wording. If Americans are simply asked if they believe in God or a universal spirit, more than 90% will say yes. If Americans are given a more finely tuned response in categories, it becomes obvious that a somewhat smaller percentage of Americans, although still the substantial majority, are absolutely convinced that God exists. In several recent Gallup polls, adult Americans have been asked about God using more complex format involving five alternative beliefs. Those alternative beliefs are convinced God exists, probably exists but have a little doubt, probably exists but have a lot of doubt, probably does not exist but not sure, or convinced God does not exist.
Got it.
And then, of course, there's also no opinion. But
okay.
So, okay, I'm gonna do this category by category here, and because it changes over time. They have three different studies from October 2005, November 2005, and May 2006.
All right.
So, convinced God exists. The numbers in 2005, October, 80%. 78% in November, 73% in May of 2006.
Okay. Now, that would be considered significant as far as a survey goes, but it's still only a 7% change. And how many people are on the NTAB in each one of these?
Like 1,500, I think?
Yeah, something like that. Not an incredibly small number. Okay, probably exists, but have a little doubt. 2005, October, 8%. November, 12%. Then May 2006, 14%.
Can you encapsulate these instead of just listing off the percentages? I'm already swimming with just six listings.
Let's just keep it to 2006. How about that?
But where are we growing? Where are we decreasing?
Okay, I won't do the middle number. I'll say, probably exists but have a lot of doubt. It went from 3 to 5%. Probably does not exist but not sure. That's remained the same. Convinced.
At what percent?
At 4%.
Okay.
And convinced God does not exist as held steady at 3%.
So 3% of Americans are 100% convinced that God doesn't exist, which would mean that 3% of Americans are atheists.
Well, and 4% of Americans are agnostic.
Okay.
Or, you know, atheist leaning. I mean, because, I mean, I could be called an atheist, but I could say I'm not sure. So
we're looking at 7% of Americans that are either atheists, hard atheists, if you will, or agnostic.
So the numbers slipping of people that believe in God, is that what...
That's part of this profile. That's part of this survey. And I have seen studies that say that right now non-religious, you know, secular beliefs are, especially atheism, is right now growing at a rate that is 100 times faster than any other religion on the planet has ever grown.
Well, I remember seeing a study last year from Great Britain that I believe said 44% of their population believed in God. Now, I don't think they broke it down into this multiple category style thing. It was just, do you believe in God or
right.
not? And there was just an incredible number of people that did not in Great Britain.
Yeah, in Great Britain, that's huge. I mean, 44% is a very small number. Well, it says here, 73% of Americans are classic true believers, convinced that God exists beyond a doubt. 87% of Americans are basic believers in the existence of God, saying that they are either convinced that God exists, or that God probably exists, and they have only a little doubt in that case. A slightly larger group of 92% of Americans can be classified in a group that tilts toward the existence of God, stating that they think that, at least they think that God probably exists, even though they have a lot of doubt about it. Only 3% of Americans can be considered as hardcore atheists, convinced that God does not exist, and I guess the four remaining.
Right. Now, where do they go elsewhere? I mean, this wasn't just broken down on straight who believes, who doesn't believe.
Well, they wanted to see, they started asking questions and seeing the other correlations. For example, age. Most measures of religiosity are lower among young people and older people. We know that younger people are less likely to report attending church, less likely to say that religion is important in their daily lives, and more likely to report having no religion at all than those who are older.
Okay.
However,
I wouldn't have doubted that.
However, these data do not reflect this in age-related correlation with belief in God. younger Americans appear just as likely as those who are older to be report being a certain or almost certain that God exists. Now, we'll go to the age. 18 to 29, 90%. 30 to 49-year-olds, 87%.
These are people that believe...
These are people that are certain or have little doubt that God exists.
Okay, the most true of true believers, basically.
Right. 50 to 64-year-olds, 88%. 65 and older, 89. So it goes
relatively
from,
steady.
Yeah, very, very, very steady.
So basically, even though kids are less likely to report that they go to church, less likely to actually maybe participate in some of these things, they still overwhelmingly believe in the existence of a God in America.
Right. Now, they went on to check and see socioeconomic status, which is, you know, obviously how much money they have, education and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Well... An inverse relationship exists between the levels of education and income and belief in God. Generally speaking, Americans who have attained higher levels of education and who have higher household incomes are less likely to be certain that God exists than those who are on the other end of the socioeconomic spectrum.
So the richer you are, and what was the other thing? It was richness and what else?
Richness and education.
And education.
So the first one is education level. Certain or little doubt that God exists. If they have high school,
true believers.
If they have high school or less, 92%. Some college, 90%. College graduate, 85%. Postgraduate, 77%.
Wow,
very sharply dipping.
Now, numbers. I'd like to also point out that we're dealing with a survey of 1,500 people here, and as it breaks down, of those 1,500 people, how many of them are postgrads? How many of them are college grads? So you're looking at a smaller sample size to get those percentages, but nonetheless, interesting numbers.
Right. And then they have information about how they do this stuff statistically on their websites.
Right.
So, their margin of error is very small, and they publish the margins of error.
That may be the case, but I would expect that if they did the same survey a few times, you'd see the widest variation of that smallest group of the post-grads.
They probably do.
Right, so it may jump from 77 to 80, and then it might jump back down to 76, up to 81, just because there aren't that many people in that subset.
So doing that again with income levels, if they make under 50,000, I'll cover that when we come back, because...
1-800-259-9231. So essentially, the study finding that the richer you are, and the more educated you are, at least through the system... the less likely you are to believe in God.
The liberal effete that's running this country.
1-800-259-9231 is the toll-free number if you want to comment. You can also join us online, of course, at freetalklive.com. And coming up, details from New London. The fight isn't over yet.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
Dry, cracked heels used to be a real problem for me, especially in the summer when I wear sandals. My husband would say, "Your heels are like sandpaper." But then my podiatrist gave me Calyx ointment. It's diabetic-friendly and smooths cracked heels and calluses using natural enzymes. Calyx never stings or burns and made my heels baby soft. Now they look and feel great. If you have calluses or dry, cracked heels, try Calyx ointment. You can find it at Walgreens and Long's in the foot care section.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237 The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
What's better than a tiny tiger in your tank? A tornado under your hood. A tornado is an easy-to-install, maintenance-free air twister designed to increase gas mileage. I personally commissioned independent tests to verify results in 6 vehicles, and all of them gained MPG with tornado. With today's gas prices, it makes sense to cage the gas-saving power of a tornado. Visit TornadoAir.com or pick up your tornado at Checker, Shucks, and Cragen today.
In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly Clark.
Do you remember when you could eat most anything and not worry about it? Or maybe weight management has always been a problem. Are you frustrated, burned out, and tired of fad diets and marketing gimmicks that don't really work? Do you want a proven system, a long-term solution, to live a healthier lifestyle and properly manage your weight? At WeCanTogether.com, our approach is different. We focus on the whole you, personalized for your unique body composition, individual needs, and personal goals, not the cookie-cutter approach offered by others. Join today and have direct access to real people that are certified health and fitness professionals. Now there is help you can count on. WeCanTogether.com is the most complete, comprehensive wellness and training resource available on the web today. Visit us now and receive your free membership. Go to WeCanTogether.com. That's WeCanTogether.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves. Toll-free number 800-259-9231. Even in the remaining moments of the show, it's Ian here with you.
And Johnson.
And Mark.
Once again, that's 1-800-259-9231. Plus, you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com, where everything is free, whether it be the bulletin board system with the hundreds of thousands, 100,000 posts plus, the live streaming, the archives, and more. It's all on the house. All that we ask in return is that you become a Free Talk Live amplifier. It's totally voluntary. So if you can't afford it, no biggie. But if you can, all we're asking is $3 a month, and that's a cup of coffee. And that's once a month. $3, we take it in, we turn it back around into advertising the show. That's what it stands for. AMP, advertise, market, promote. So we take that $3 in, and we turn it into, say, magazine ads in radio industry publications. We turn it into internet advertising to get more internet listeners on board.
We go to conventions, talk radio conventions.
The result is we're spreading the message of freedom and liberty as wide and as far as possible. That's where all the money goes to, is to expanding Free Talk Live.
Sure does.
Good luck getting that kind of value out of some of the other libertarian organizations out there. amp.freetalklive.com. I'm not saying they're not doing valuable things. I just think that you're getting the most for your money out of the AMP program. So get
bang
all the
for your buck.
Yeah, and get all the details at amp.freetalklive.com. Really, if there's a more, I guess, bang for your buck libertarian program out there, I'd love to know about it, because I don't think it exists. amp.freetalklive.com. Back to a few more statistics here, Johnson. Essentially, Gallup poll revealing that the more educated you are, the wealthier that you are, the less likely you are to believe in the existence of a god.
Interesting. All right, let me cover this. Did I cover the salaries? No, I don't think I did.
We didn't get through it.
Under 50,000, 91% are certain or have little doubt that God exists.
Okay.
If they make under $50,000. If they make from $50,000 to $74,000, on average, 90% of people are certain.
Okay, not a big drop.
Now, $75,000 to $99,000, 88%, so 2% drop there. 100 to 149,000, down to 79%.
Whoa!
Now, wow.
That's a big drop.
Huge drop. If they make over $150,000 plus, 75%. Dropped again.
That's significant.
Yeah. So between that, if you're making under $100,000, if you're making over $100,000, there's almost a 10% drop in the average amount of people who believe or are certain that a God exists.
Is it because money's the devil and it's corrupting people?
Well, what I would wonder is how come God isn't helping his followers?
What? Well, I mean, well, I don't think that one needs to be rich to be holy.
Well, wouldn't they
good.
Be rewarded?
Sure, the reward's in heaven. you can't. You cannot win with
I
that
know.
Particular
I
line
know.
Of reasoning. Now, you know, I'm not the the Bible pounder. I do believe in God. I'm not the Bible pounder, but I'm not sure that this means much of anything. I think that
it's just interesting. That's all.
I think that people that are likely to make themselves wealthy are definitely self-starters, and they believe in themselves. I think
Good
that
point.
People that make it through college definitely have to believe in themselves. And the more you believe in yourself, the less you're going to believe in God.
Well,
I don't think that makes you right.
There's some speculations here. It says only about 3/4 of Americans with postgraduate educations or incomes above $150,000 a year are certain that God exists or believe that God probably exists and have a little doubt. That compares with more than 9 out of 10. With those of high school educations or less, those making less than $50,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Some of this may reflect the generally more skeptical nature that often comes with more formal education. Those who are college graduates may have been socialized to be more cautious about agreeing with any statement of fact. There are also many theories about the functions of religion that may also come into play here. Those who have fewer material possessions or who are more oppressed in this life may be more likely to depend on the belief in a God and the potential for a blissful life after death.
That God will save them from this terrible life.
As a coping mechanism for dealing with their current life circumstances.
Hmm.
Well, gender.
The crutch, if you will, for as Jesse Ventura put it.
Right.
Gender, that's interesting.
There's a thing here about gender. Women are more religious than men on many measures, including self-reported importance of religion in one's daily life and active church attendance and church participation. It's not surprising, therefore, that we find a modest gender difference in terms of belief in God. 91% of women are in the basic believers category compared to 85% of men.
Hmm.
Region. Perhaps not surprisingly, there is a slightly less certainty about the existence of God on both coasts of the United States. 9 out of 10 residents in the South and Midwest believe in God, compared to 83% and 84% of those living in the West and East, respectively.
It's a significant difference.
So if you live close to the water, you're less likely, although still very likely.
Well,
to
the closer
in God.
You are to the breadbasket, essentially, the more likely you are.
It sounds like the South to me.
Hmm? The South was part of the higher. South
right.
and Midwest.
I'm just saying that.
Okay.
It sounds like it's the
right.
religion
it's
bomb
the
went off in Alabama and went outward.
Yeah.
Not
right. So since we live close to water, then it, you know there's less likely of people to be religious around here. There you go.
And, of course, politics. By almost all measures, Republicans are more religious on average than are independents or Democrats. Republicans are more likely to attend church regularly and are more likely to identify with a specific religious group. Only slight differences in a exist in belief in God, however. So 93% of Republicans are certain or have little doubt compared to 86% of Democrats and independents, respectively. Both groups have the exact same.
There you go. If you've got thoughts, 1-800-259-9231.
I want to read this because I've never read it before about Gallup. And it's on there. Survey methods. These results are based on telephone interviews with randomly selected national samples of approximately 1,000 adults aged 18 and older. Conducted at 3 points in time, and it said I read this October 2005, November 2005,
okay.
and May 2006. For results based on any one of these samples, one can say with 95% confidence that the maximum error attributable to sampling and other effects is plus or minus 3 percentage points. For analyses involving the aggregate of all 3 polls, the maximum error of attributable sampling and other random effects is plus or minus 2 percentage points. In addition to sampling error, question wording about practical difficulties in conducting surveys can introduce error and bias into the findings of public opinion polls.
Okay.
So
there you go.
Yep, there you go.
Well, it's important to keep those things in mind when you listen to polls because it's not... Are they lying? It's how much is this untrue?
Yeah, and, you know, if they're going to publish it right there, it's not like, you know, your average... I mean, they are a polling organization. It's not like a magazine poll where they're, you know, typically trying to
skew one way or the other.
Yeah, exactly. This organization just wants to present the data. I mean, they have no...
Well, Gallup does. They get hired, too, like a lot of polling organizations.
Sure.
But I would presume that they vet the questions beforehand and say, look, we're not going to attach our name to this.
Well, the other thing is that even if they do get hired at any particular point in time, if those results were suddenly skewed, it would be very odd because Gallup has what's called the Gallup brain. They take these polls over years and years and years now. And they have these, you can go look up these results. I mean, they're online. They have a membership program.
Right.
But it's all computerized, and they have these results. So
you
see
over a time frame, you know, maybe a decade or so.
It suddenly jumped up or was ridiculous. So that information is available.
And you might be able to see how the opinion polls have been changing over the years.
I'll tell you, I looked at it. I mean, it's a little bit expensive for my blood, but it was something that I looked into because I thought it would be interesting to see if I couldn't look up. You know, I love statistics and whatnot. I don't know it offhand anymore, but
too much.
Yeah,
too much for Johnson.
It went down. I think it was like $100 when I first looked. Then it went down to $60. But it still was too much.
Is that for a year?
What I want. I think so, yeah.
It's not
horrible.
If you're really into statistics and really into polls, that's reasonable.
I thought it would be kind of cool to go in there and look up and see if I couldn't find any correlations between odd little pieces of data, because that's what it has. Is it has, you know, these surveys that's asking.
Now
people,
you know what to get Johnson for his birthday.
Ah! My birthday just passed.
Threat!
It's like...
It's never too late for a belated birthday.
It was exactly a week ago.
Get Johnson a subscription to Gallup.com. All right. Here's the latest from the New London situation in these remaining moments. Lauren Canario posting over at NHFree.com. We thought it was all wrapped up and done with. We reported last week that both of the remaining homeowners had signed agreements to sell their houses, or actually in the case of Ms. Kelo, to move her home, and that it was going to be over. Well, according to Lauren, and she's still in New London, so she's connected to these people, she says that Kelo is said to have agreed to move her house, but yet she has not signed anything yet. Mr. Cristofaro, the other guy, the other holdout, is still very angry and wants to stay, and his family is backing him up, yet he's disheartened by being the only one left. He tells me that he has demands and will sell if they meet the demands, but that he doubts that the city can actually meet the demands. So we don't know what those demands are, and as the information continues to roll in, we'll bring it to you. Also, Lauren posted a few thoughts about the whole situation there. She says, we thought the land that we bought here in New London was ours, to sell at the time of our choosing, to whom we pleased. The city has demanded that we sell only to them, at the time that they state, at the price of their choosing. We thought that the city held records of property deeds and security and preservation, setting boundary disputes with safeguarded documents. The city has stolen our deeds. We thought our parents and elderly citizens were safe from cruel treatment at the hands of the city they loyally supported for so many decades. City agents have threatened the elderly with long court battles if they didn't sell their homes immediately. And we will bring you more on the Kelo situation as it develops. It's been Ian here with you.
And Johnson.
And Mark.
See you tomorrow night for the live Saturday edition. And online in the meantime at freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at 4 times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.